We're going to continue on with .NET and some JavaScript. I mean, yeah, right. Visual Basic, wrong class. JavaScript was the last class. So, parallel array is the one I think I want next. So bring up parallel array. This is just a very simple one, and then we'll look at the one that's more complicated that has to do with soup. Okay. A parallel array is basically where you have multiple arrays, but they're in parallel. So 15 goes with books, 26 goes with toys, 37 goes with gifts, and 56 goes with cookware. And so they're parallel, and I just, in this case, printed them out. So I went down and I said, go to the department number array and print the thing with a zero subscript. And then concatenate that with some spaces and go to the department array and print the things with the zero subscript. So they're both zero, so I get 15 books. Then I add one, because it's a for loop, it adds one, and the next one will give me 26 toys, and the next one will give me whatever it is, 37 gifts and so forth. Now, and the deal is that this is a parallel array. If I wanted to do a search like we looked at the end of class last time, then I would go in and do a search, find the match in this 15, 16, 37, 56. If I found a match at 37, then I know the index is 2, and I go down here and take out gifts. If I don't find a match, then I know it's not in the table. So I didn't do a search on this one, but you could do a search and then find the department number and then from there go and get the department name. Okay? And I am missing the thing that lets me take a picture. There it is. Okay, so that's just a very, very simple version. So I'm going to close this. And open another one. And I'm going to take search parallel. So this one is doing what I just said, where you can do the search. So this one is searching for a match. So if I run this, enter the number, enter the department number, and I meant to fix this and I didn't. I don't want it to enter a department number of 0 to 3. I want it to enter a department number that's 15, 26, 37, or 56. So it shouldn't have said 0 to 3. Okay. And I meant to go in and fix that, and I probably did in some version, but not the version I've got here. So that's what I've got. Okay, so now if I put in 37 and I search, it comes back and tells me gifts because it goes in and does the search. Okay, if I followed the instructions and put in a 2, it comes back and gives me no match found because it did not find a match. It's looking for the numbers in the department array. Department number array. So that would give me no match found. Okay, so what I'm doing is, again, the classic search. I set the indicator found to no. I set the work sub to 0. And I said do while indicator found equals no and work sub is less than the department array length. Okay, so when I have looked at everything, or when I find a match, I'm getting out. So I now said, if the department text equals the thing in the array, then change the indicator to found. Else, add 1 to sub. Okay, so if it finds it, I want to change it to Y, and then add... Else, I want to add 1 to sub. Actually, that's a good point. I had somebody do this problem or some similar problem, and they didn't have an else, they just said work sub, add 1. And if you add 1 when it's found, what is going to happen? Okay. Let's say I put in a 37. Okay. When I found it, then I have a 2 that found it. So I change, this is what's in work sub. Okay, it was a 2 when I found 37, it was a 2. I have an indicator found that has a Y in it, I mean an N in it, sorry, now it's got a Y. Started out with an N, but now it's got a Y because I found a match. So I find a match, and now if this was up here as opposed to the else, then I would add 1 to sub, and it would now be a 3. So what happens when I drop out of the loop, and it says if found equals Y, then what is the department it's going to show? What department is it going to show? Mm-hmm. Cookware, right. Because if it's a 3, I made it now a 3, so it's going to drop down and take cookware. So it's going to get the wrong thing. That would be the 3 is going to get cookware. So that's why I don't want to get rid of the else. I need the else because I only want to add 1 if there was not a match. If there was a match, I don't want to add 1. Okay? So this is the way I want it. Adding when there's not a match, because if I found the match, there's no sense in adding to it. It's only when I don't find a match that I want to look at the next one, that it makes sense to add to it. Okay. So, when I come down here, if it got changed to Y, a match was found and I pull out the name. If it didn't get changed to Y, I know it left because I checked everything. Because work sub is no longer less than the length. So I left because I checked everything. Okay? And so no match found is a valid response to that. I didn't find it. So if I go looking for 36, and I search, no match found, because 36 is not one of the numbers in that chart. I have 15, 26, 37, and 56. Okay. And those are the only matches that I have. Questions. Make sure you're comfortable with the search, because that's going to come back to haunt you and other things. It really is kind of the classic format of a search. You look like you have a question. Yes, no, maybe? Because I'm about to make it go away. So if you have a question, ask. It's going. Okay, so file, close solution, and open a project. Okay, soup search and substring are the next two I want to look at. So I'll look at soup search, which is another search. Okay. These are the arrays that I have. Okay? So it's very similar to that other one. I've got a number and I've got a name. Okay? And I don't think I looked at this. Did I look at this before?
Yeah.
It looks familiar. Okay. Then forget it.
Okay.
That brings up. Suddenly I looked at it and said, wait a minute, I've seen this recently. File, close solution. And we will go to the other one, which I don't think we saw, which was substring soup. And there's one that's missing that I haven't found yet. Okay. Okay, this one is just a little bit different because what I did is I did the parallel array in the same thing. So I've got 03 seafood chowder, 12 corn chowder. And I like this better because it makes it real clear which goes with which. And if I go in and add a soup and they say, okay, we're going to have another soup and we want it to be 19, I don't have to adjust the numbers and everything like that because the 19 goes with the name. It's easier to keep track of. Then I look at it and say, okay, 19, I want these in order. That should be 4, which makes this 5, and so forth. But I have to do it for 2 arrays. So it's just easier if you have the number and the name together. Okay? So now what I do is... Okay, read, and it brings in the first one, and the number, the item number was 12. Now notice what I did. I made seafood chowder 03, because they all have to be the same number of digits the way I handled it. Okay, because I'm using the fact that it's two digits and then the rest is the name. So then I read the next one and it's 27, and 27 is onion soup. And I can keep reading these. So, how did I do it? If we look down at the bottom, we see the substring. Can I just make all these windows go away, please? No, I'm not going to be able to get the array. So, I'm going to take that and put it on Notepad. So that we can see it when we're down below. Okay, so there's the search. And the search is a function, like it was in the other one. So I'm saying, go do the function called search array, send it work item number. When it returns something, whatever it returns, either the name or a message, put that into text item name.text. Because a function will return something. And on the right, I'm telling it to do the search. And then on the left, I'm providing a place to put it when it does the search. Okay, so I've got a place to put it when it does the search. So when it finishes and it does a return, the thing that it returns goes into the field on the left. And so it goes up on the field on the left. Okay? So in the search, then, I said, do until either item sub is greater than 8, because it's out of range at that point. Let me bring up the thing I had in Notepad. Okay, so do until it's greater than 8. Because there are...
I never just do one. What?
I never just do one sneeze.
Oh, okay.
So I'm standing here waiting because I always do multiples. Why aren't I doing multiples today? Okay, so I am got a two-digit number and I only go up to 8. Choices. So I'm saying do until item sub is greater than 8 or match indicator, which is yes. So do until you've checked everything or you find a match. Okay? Then I use substring, and notice I made a little comment in there that you actually can use left. And left used to be a command in the Visual Basic many years ago. But they used it for something else. So now if you want to use left to substitute for a substring, you have to write Microsoft Visual Basic dot left in front of it to tell it you're using the weird use of left, not their wonderful use of left. Okay, not their preferred use. So I'm saying go to item array, item sub, comma, 2. So go in and take the first two characters to the left. The way I always do it is with substring, and even back when it was left, I always did it with substring. Where I say, okay, work item number equals item array modified by item sum dot substring 02. So I've got a work item number that I put in. Okay? So it puts in via the... Let me get control of this mouse. The put in gets put in via the read.
Where did it get the 1212?
That's on the file. It's on the data file.
Okay.
I'm not sure I can open one more thing. Trust me for a minute and we'll look at it in a minute.
Yep.
But the data file has 12, 12, 27, and 2. Those are the three things that are on the data file.
All right.
So, when I read the second record, I think this was the second record, It gives me order number 1212, item number 27. Number ordered is 2, and I go and do this search. So what I'm looking for is the item number, okay, which I entered, or I read as a 27. Is 27 equal to item array, here's item array, modified by 0 the first time through. So it's going to be looking at the seafood chowder, etc. And what I want to compare the 27 to is the 03. So I say item array that item sub is pointing to, dot, take that information and do a substring on it, starting with 0 and taking 2 characters. So what I'm doing is telling it compare the 27 to the first 2 characters. Okay? And if it equals the first 2 characters, then I set match indicator equal to yes. If it doesn't equal the first 2 characters, I add 1 to item sub, and I go back up to the loop, and now I'm going to be comparing with an index of 1, so I'm comparing the 12, the 27 to 12, because the index is 1, so I'm comparing to 12. That doesn't match, so I add 1, and so it's now up to 2, so I'm comparing the 27 to 15. Okay. I didn't find a match, so I add 1, and I go back, and now I'm comparing the 27 to 17. Didn't find a match, went back, compare 27 to 24, then to 25, and finally when the index is up to a 6, I compare 27 to 27, and I've got a match. So at that point, I set it to yes. Okay? And so now I drop out and I say, okay, return item array, item sub, dot substring 2. Meaning that I am going to start with the 0, 1, 2. I'm going to start with the third character. The 2 is starting counting 0. So 0, 1, 2, starting with the third character, and I am going to take and say substring 2. When I don't put another thing in there, it means go to the end. Up here, I had substring 0, 2, which means start at the 0 character and take 2. Here, I say start at the second character and take to the end. If I put a comma in there, I could take just 5 characters or something. But I'm saying take to the end. So that's how I get the name of the table. And the old way of doing it was I could go in with mid and go to the 3 because it counted differently. So I was saying mid start with 3 when I did mid. Does that make sense? Okay. So I kind of like this way of doing it. You can even go so far as to put a slash in there and find the slash and all that if you wanted to, but the best, easiest way is to make the first thing just 2 characters. Okay? And you see this a lot with the things being tied together in the array. Questions. Okay, the next thing we're going to look at in that collection or actually before we go to the Visual Basic, I'm going to go back and go to notes and handouts and notes on the bubble sort. So there's notes on the bubble sort. Okay, this is writing a sort And we're doing this mainly because it just is good data manipulation. I'm going to tell you something that you don't want to know, and that is there is a sort function that you can use, but not for this one. So this one is a bubble sort. So I'm saying in the bubble sort, this is just the logic, and then we'll look at the program. I'm saying in the bubble sort that I have five figures. Okay, and these might be in an array, whatever. Okay, so I've got 5, 6, 2, 3, 4. They might be an array of each one of them. So I start out and I say, okay, I'm going to set sub 1 equal to 1, sub 2 equal to 2, and endpoint equal to 5. Now, this works fine if your subscripts start with 1. If not, then you want to change this to 0 and 1. Okay, so depending on what language, as I said, Visual Basic used to allow 1 at the beginning of the subscript. Now it's more into 0, or it is into 0. So you could change this to 0 and 1, but the logic is the same. So I say start out with sub 1 equal to 1 and sub 2 equal to 2, and set an endpoint equal to 5 and set a flip count equal to 0. Okay? And after what you're going to, after this, is just means after you've initialized, that's still the same numbers. So then I go down to the next step, and I compare sub 1 points at 5. And again, this would change to 0 and 1 if I write it in Visual Basic, and you'll see that in a minute. Sub 1 points at 5, because that's the first thing. Sub 2 points at 6, because that's the second thing. Okay? I'm trying to sort these. 5 is less than 6, so I'm going to leave them alone, because that's the order. I want the biggest thing to sink to the bottom. So I'm leaving them alone. Okay? So I am still going to have 5, 6, 2, 3, 4, because I've left them alone. Now the next step is I add 1 to sub 1, which now gets it up to a 2, and I add sub 2, which now gets it up to a 3. Okay. And I don't know why I took endpoint out. Endpoint stays at 5 for a while, but anyway. So I now am comparing. Sub 1 will point at 6 because it's a 2, so it's pointing at 6. Sub 2 points at 2, 3 points at 2. They are not in the order that I want because I want the biggest thing to sink to the bottom, so I do a flip. And I flip 6 and 2. So I flip 6 and 2, and now I've got them flipped around. Okay, so 6 and 2 have been flipped. So now I add 1. Oh, I also put a 1 in flip count because I did a flip. Now I add 1, and sub 1 is now a 3, so it points at the 6. Sub 2 is now points at the 3, so I need to flip those because 6 needs to keep sinking to the bottom. So I keep flipping those. I now have done 2 flips. And I've got now 5, 2, 3, 6. On the next one, I'm going to, sub 1 is going to point to the 6. Sub 2 is going to point to the 4. I need to flip them, so I flip them. And so at this point, 6 has now sunk to the bottom. Okay, 6 has now sunk to the bottom. And then I do another pass. Okay? So sub 2 greater than endpoint, so the pass is complete. What I look at is there anything else to compare? No. The endpoint, this is greater than the endpoint, so there's nothing more to compare. So 6 is now locked at the one end. So I subtract from endpoint for pass 2. So endpoint in state 5, and I don't know why I didn't say it in there. And now I'm at pass 2. And my goal at pass 2 is 6 is now locked in the end. So the heaviest thing sunk in the first pass. Now I'm going back and initializing at 1, 2, and flip endpoint is a 4. And so I'm going to compare, and I am going to keep flipping, because 5 and 2, I need to flip, because I want 5 to come down. So I flip, and I get 2, 5. Then I compare 5 and 3, and flip them, and I keep moving down, so that the 5 eventually gets down to the bottom. So I keep comparing, and if it's bigger, then I flip, so that the biggest thing sinks to the bottom. Okay? And I keep doing the passes. Now I've got 4, 5, 6, 3, 2. I've actually got them there. So that one was an easy one to do. I didn't have to flip everything. How I stop is when I go through a pass with nothing being flipped, then I know that I'm done. Okay, when I've gone through a pass and nothing got flipped, then I know that I'm done, that they are in order. Okay? So this is in order. Okay, so now what I want to do is go back to Visual Basic and bring up the program that does the bubble sort. And there it is. So now that we've looked at theory, we're going to look at the actual program. Okay. So this one first calls for me to enter some numbers. Okay. So enter numbers. And it asks for a number, and I'll put in 5. And then I'll put in 2. And then I'll put in 7. And then I'll put in 9. And then I'll put in 4. And that's whatever I want to put in, I can put in. So I've got 4 or 5 numbers, and I want to sort them. Okay. So I'm setting up my variables, and this time my endpoint is 4. On there, my endpoint was 5 because I was starting with 1. Here I'm starting with 0. So here I'm doing it the Visual Basic way. Flip count is interesting. I had to fake it here because what I wanted to do was set flip count to 0. But if I flip set count to 0, if I set flip count to 0, notice my do until. My do until is saying do until endpoint equals 0 or flip count equals 0. So if I set flip count equal to 0 up there, I'll never go into the loop. And I wanted to use flip count. I could have obviously changed this and used something where I set flip count to a message periodically and that sort of thing, but I wanted to use flip count. So I faked it and said it's equal to 9. Okay, it's never going to hit 9 because there are only 5 numbers. So it's never going to hit 9, and so I just made it 9. I could have set it to null, I could have set it to anything, but I just decided to set it to 9. Then I started out and I have a sub 1 and a sub 2, and I have a hold slot, because when I flip them, I need to have a hold to hold them while I'm flipping, and we'll see that as we go along. So I'm saying do until endpoint equals 0 or flip count equals 0. So that means if I go through an entire pass and flip count is still a 0, I will end, and if I've gotten to the end point equals 0, I've checked everything, and I will end. Okay? So I now start out and I say, okay, sub 1 is going to be 1. So I'm going to have sub 1, and I'm going to set it to 0. I think I said 1. Sub 2, I'm going to set to 1. Okay? Flip count, I am setting to 0 now, because I'm now past that dangerous if, so I can set it to 0. Endpoint has already been set, and it's been set to 4. Okay? And then I have a hold slot. And that's everything, I think. So now I'm going into the inner loop, and those are the passes. Okay, so this is the entire sort. This is the entire sort. These are the passes that we go through. Okay, so those are the passes. So I start out in the pass and I said do until sub 2 is greater than endpoint. Because if sub 2 gets greater than endpoint, there's nothing that I can compare it to. So if sub 2 is greater than endpoint, I'm going to stop the pass. Okay? So now I start out and I say, if num array modified by sub 1 is greater than num array modified by sub 2. So I'm asking, is 5 greater than 2? Is 5 greater than 2? Yep. So that means I do the thing inside the if. So I take the num array modified by sub 1, which is a 5, and I move it to the hold area. So I put that into the hold area. Then I say, okay, take the number of array that sub 1 is pointing to, which is a 5. I'm sorry, that sub 2 is pointing to, which is a 2, and move it to the number array that sub 1 is pointing to. So I'm basically saying, okay, I've got a 5 or a 2. I want to flip those. I want to just flip them. But I can't just put the 2 up where the 5 was because I won't be able to know that there was a 5 there. It's like if you're doing something, you get a phone call and then you forget what you were doing. Okay. So if I take and I move the 2 up to the 5, then I've lost track of what was there. So that's the reason for the hold area. So I move the 5 down here to the hold area. Then I move the 2 up there to the 5. And then I move the hold area back. Okay. So that I end up with 2, 5. I end up flipping those with 2, 5. And I'm not drawing terribly well up there. But I end up making those 2, 5. So I flip them. And I need the hold area to do the flip. Because as a person, I can see that it was a 5 and I can move it down. But once I put the 2 where the 5 was, the computer's not seeing it. And so I have to have the hold area. So I move the 5 down to here. Move the 2 up to where the 5 was. And then move the 5 back to where the 2 was. And I end up with 2, 5. Okay, so I've got 2, 5 going on there. And at that point, okay, so I move it out, change those, and move the whole spot back. And then I add 1 to flip count, because I did 1 flip in here. Then I end the if. And I add 1 to sub 1. I add 1 to sub 1. I add 1 to sub 2. Okay, so I added 1 to each of those. And now I go back and loop back. Okay, so now after I've added those, I loop back. And so now I am comparing the 5 and the 7. And those are okay, right? When I compare the 5 to the 7, okay, so when I compare the 5 to the 7, those are in order. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I compare the 5 to the 7, and I don't have to flip them, because the 7 is at the bottom, it's the heaviest. Okay? So I don't have to do that. Then I add 1 to these and go up to 3, and, yeah, to 2 and 3. Okay, so 2 and 3, I'm going to be comparing the 7 to the 9, and I don't have to flip those, okay, because the 9 is the heavy one and it's at the bottom. And then I go up and I compare the 3 to the 4, which is 9 to 4. Okay, comparing the 3rd to the 4th is 9 to 4. So I'm comparing 9 to 4, those have to be flipped. Okay, so those have to be flipped. I move something to the hold area, I flip them around, and I'm now going to have 7, 4, 9. Because I flipped the 9 and the 4. So 9 has now sunk to the bottom, which was what my goal was. Okay? So at this point, my if statement is going to say that do until sub 2 is greater than endpoint, and I've already added money after I finished this. So it's greater than endpoint, okay? So I did the flip of the 4-9, and then I added 1 to each, and I got to 4-5. Sub 2 is greater than endpoint. So that means the pass is done. So I drop out of that. I subtract 1 from endpoint, rather, because I've locked the 9 in. So I subtract 1 from endpoint, and that goes back to the outer loop. Is endpoint equal to 0? No. Is flip count equal to 0? No. And I would have added 1 of these. So how many flips did I do? 2 or whatever. So anyway, flip count is greater than 0. Okay? So I keep going in and doing the flip again. Okay, 7 and 4 are going to need to be flipped, and so it's going to be 2, 5, 4, 7 next. So it just keeps going down. Does 2 and 5 need to be flipped? No. Does 5 and 7 need to be flipped? No. Does 7 and 4 need to be flipped? Yes. So I end up with 2, 5, 4, 7, 9. And I come back and reset. 2 and 5 don't need to be flipped. 5 and 4 do. So I will flip 5 and 4, and I will end up with 2, 4, 5, 7, 9. And so I end up with everything in order at this point. So I'm done. Okay? And essentially, I did a flip here. So I'll do one more pass. The next pass won't flip anything, and that's what tells me I'm done. Okay. Or if endpoint gets there first so that I've already flipped everything in endpoint, there's nothing else to compare, I will end. But that's how the bubble sort works. Questions. So if I click on sort here, it comes out as I said it would. Okay, so the key things here is I've got two indexes that I keep moving as I go down through here. So I look at 1 and 2, and then 2 and 3, and then 3 and 4, and then 4 and 5, and I keep looking at them as I go down. Okay? I have to have the hold area, because when I flip them, I can't remember what was there, so I need the hold area to remember what was there. I have two ways of getting out of this. One, that I go through an entire thing without doing any flips, in which case I know it's done. Or another one is I actually did a flip on the last pass, but now endpoint is going to throw me out because there's no more passes I could do.
What's that last one?
Well, an endpoint, which last one?
Well, the two ways of getting you out.
Endpoint being down to zero.
Okay.
Or flip count being zero. So endpoint means I did the last pass, and I happen to have left one last flip I have to do, or two last flips. So it's the fact that endpoint, when I subtracted one, went to zero, and therefore I know I've looked at everything.
Okay.
And because actually it's just one thing. When I get to the last pass, there's just two numbers left to convey them. Because notice, as I lock in, I have less numbers. I started out with five numbers. After the first pass, I locked in the nine. After the next pass, I locked in the nine and the seven. And so if I lock in the nine, that means there's only four numbers that I'm playing with. When I've locked in the nine and the seven, there's only three numbers I'm playing with. When I lock in the 5, 7, 9, that is only two numbers I'm playing with. And I can't have one number that I'm playing with because there's nothing to flip with it. So at that point, endpoint. So either I reach endpoint, if the numbers are real easy and there was only a couple of little things I had to tweak, then I'm going to hit endpoint zero. No, I'll probably actually hit flip count zero. But if there's a lot of things I had to tweak, I'll hit endpoint zero.
I just don't see where flip count would ever equal zero.
If I went through an entire pass didn't flip anything. Flip count, I reset whenever I start a pass.
Okay.
I reset it to zero.
Yeah.
And if I go through and I don't do any flips at all, then flip count stays zero and I should get out.
Okay.
Because if I didn't do any flips, I'm out. Okay. So now there is a top-down pass. Top-down sort. And if you go back to my website and click on top-down sort. This is the top-down sort. So I've got these numbers that I want to sort. I've got 15, 36, 24, 12, and 20. Okay. So I'm establishing two subscripts, one and two. And again, when you take this over to the current Visual Basic, it will be 0 and 1. Okay. So I'm comparing the 15 that someone is pointing to the 36. Okay, and the 36 is bigger, so I leave it alone. So then I add 1 to sub 2. So sub 2 is now a 3. I don't change sub 1. So this is a top-down sort, where sub 1 is going to stay the same. And I'm going to keep comparing as I go down. So now I'm comparing 15 to 24. So the first one I compared 15 to 36. Now I'm comparing 15 to 24. And those are in order, so I leave them alone. And I add one to sub 2, getting it up to a 4. And so now I compare the 15 to the 12. And those need to be flipped. Okay, because the 15 is bigger, so those need to be flipped. So I flip the 15 and the 12, and I end up with 12, 36, 24, 15. So I'm moving the 15 down. Okay. So when I've compared everything, okay, so what I'm doing here is I started out with 15, 36, 24, 12, 20. And I'm comparing everything to what's in the top spot. So 15 and 36, no flip needed. 15, 24, no flip needed. The next one, 15 to 12, I need a flip. So I now have flipped those. Okay? So I'm comparing the 12 to now the 20, and there's no flip needed. Okay, so now I've gotten down there, and what I've successfully done on this one is I've got the top one is locked in. The 12 is locked in. In the process of this, I got the smallest one up to the top. Okay? So now I am going to change sub 1 to point at this one. So I'm changing sub 1 to point at that one. And I'm going to compare the 36 to everything. So I compare 36 to 24, they need to be flipped. Okay? Then I compare the 24 to the 15, they need to be flipped. Then I compare the 15 to the 20, they're all right. So I've now locked in the 15. The second spot. Okay? Why did I write 24 there twice? That's scaring me. What did I say wrong there? Okay? Okay, whatever. I think I have an eraser up here someplace. Well, I'll just clear the ink. Okay. So I started out again. What did I start out with? It just wants to do its own thing. Okay.
Impressive.
Huh?
It's impressive.
Yes, isn't it? So I compare these, and I compare everything to the 15, or to the first slot. I shouldn't have said the 15, the first slot. So 15, 36, no flip. 15, 24, flip. 15, 12, flip. So I now got a 12 there and a 15 there. And I flip them. Okay? And then 12, 20 is no flip. So I've ended up with 36, 24, 20. And I've locked in the 12. Okay? So now I move down to saying this is the one that I'm going to compare everything to. And 36 and 24 get me a flip. the 15 will end up going up at the top. So I'm going to flip those and I get 24, 36. Then I compare the 15 to the 24 and I flip those. And then I compare the 15 to the 20 and there's no flip. So I've now locked in 15. And then I keep going with the 36, 25 needs to be flipped. And the 20 will have to be flipped with that spot too. So I'll end up with the 20 in the third place. Okay, so I have a bunch of passes. And I go down and I then say, okay, this is the spot I'm comparing to. I need to flip those two. And then the 20 compared to the 25, I need to flip those two. And so now I've got the 20 locked in. Okay, and then the last thing is going to flip the 25 and the 36, and I will get those locked in. So I am done. This one doesn't have a flip count. This one is done basically when there's not two numbers left to flip. If there's not two numbers left. So in other words, this is now at 4, and that 4 has a 5. And at that point, I can test. But once I add one to this starting point and make it a 5, there's no 6 to compare it to. And again, if you start with 0, the numbers I just said are all one bigger. So that's how the top-down sort works. So, one of the assignments that I'm going to pick up for you, if I haven't already, is to do the top-down sort. Okay, I did the bubble sort. I want you to do the top-down. Okay. Okay, so some of this stuff is going to be the same, but again, the difference is the top-down takes the first one and compares everything sequentially to the first one. The bubble goes boom, boom, and keeps changing both. The top-down locks in the first number, compares everything to it, gets the smallest number on top, then moves down to the second one, compares everything to get the next number there, the next number, and the next number. Okay. Questions? As I said, you will probably never have to do something like this because they now provide a sort, but it's good practice with data manipulation to play with these, which is why I kind of have people do them. So I'm going to close this solution and we're going to go back and find the sort. Array sort, I believe. Whoops. Okay, where is it now? What have I done? Open project array sort. Hello? Okay, I have no idea what I did. Actually, I'm not sure this is the right one, but we'll look at this one anyway. Okay, so I put in a lot of numbers. It then kept the numbers in an array that I put in. So department 1 was 12, department 2 was 45, department 3, and I did a sort and display. And so the two 12s that I put in came in first, then the 22, the 24, the 45, and the 78. So it was sorting by the amount. Okay. I have no idea why it's decided to be very temperamental. No, that's just another version of the bubble sort. So it did the sort, and this time, I've got two things that I'm holding on to. And so this is a good one. It's not what I was looking for. I was going to do this later. Okay, so this is my bubble sort here. But notice this time, I've got a whole department number and a whole total. Okay, because I'm taking in, and I have both a department number and a total that is for that department, and I need to save them. So when I flip them, I flip them both, and then I have them in order. So I'm flipping them both, so let me show you what the array looks like. Okay, wait a minute. Here's the data entry. I should have gotten into this. This is the data entry. Okay, so I've got the data entry here, and I am putting in department number equals 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then I am going to go and do the sort over here by bringing up the form sorted totals. Okay, so I've got multiple forms going on over here. I've got the form that takes in the data, and it calls the form that is going to show the form with the output. Okay? And as I said, I meant to do this later. And the more I look at this, I'm going to leave it to later. Because we've got multiple forms there. And the more I look at it, we haven't really covered enough to have multiple forms. So remind me that I want to go over this. But there's too many background things that I have to explain. So I obviously got the wrong thing. So now we're going to go look for the one that I really wanted, which was the sort. Maybe it's sort method. That seems reasonable. I really should make up a cheat sheet. Yes. Okay, so this one, enter numbers that I want to sort. So enter the numbers. I'll enter a 5, a 1, a 9. The one that said sort module. Sort method, I guess it was.
Sort method, okay. Thank you.
then I say sought, and I've got 1, 2, 5, 6, 9. Okay? So this just did it all by its little selfie. The enter is the same as I did before, where I put it up, and I put it in the array, and the array goes up to 4. And so I enter one in and put it in the array, and this is the order that I entered it in. And it is simply showing the order. Okay? So I say put it up, and then I take this list item, this is the list item, and I say add to the items in the list item. So I'm just adding to the items in the list box. The list box is called this first enter, or list enter. So I'm adding it to there. So those are keeping track of my numbers. So I have the input box, I give them a number, it adds it to the list box. Okay, list box items add always adds to the list box. And I'm adding the thing that was in number array modified by I. So I took what was in the input box, put it in number array modified by I, and now I'm taking that and adding it to the list. So it's in the array for me to use, and it's also showing in the list box. Okay, then I come down, and the next thing is button sought. And when I click on that, it simply does an array sought on the number array. And it just sought some for me. And then in the for statement, is just to prove that it sorted them. So I went back and wrote them out. And so that is the automatic sort that can be done. So if you just want a routine sort, you can use this kind of thing. As always, if you want to have more manipulative power, then writing your own gives you more power. And more manipulative power. Okay. Sorry about that when I started, but I really think we'll be better after we've done some other stuff. And I think that finishes those up. But I'm going to take one last look. I think I've done everything there. Redim, I am going to, well, we can take a look at Redim. We have 6 minutes. Okay, what redim does for you, and we will start this one on Thursday. But what redim does for you is gives you the ability to redimension an array. So you can start out and you can redimension the array. Okay, which means make it bigger. And this is how I do it. I've got an accumulative array up there and I didn't put any size into it. And then I came down here and said redim the accumulative array and redim it to have a certain size, which is work how many minus 1. So I wanted to redim it and change the size. So if I have a set of 6 departments and I want to add a 7th department, then I'm going to go back and do a redim and change the array to be up to 7. So I'm going to add whatever in there. In this one, I'm taking work how many, which is a field that I have when I start out here. And I am adding 1 to it. So I said to start to gather the input box, enter the number of original entries, and that goes to how many. So now I take the array that I didn't give it a size to, I just told it was array, and I said, okay, redim that to be work how many minus 1. again, accounting for this thing that starts at zero. Okay, because work how many is how many do you want? Well, if I want five, then the indexes go zeros for four. Okay? So that gives me the power to redimension an array, depending on the size that I want it. So the user is getting to pick the size of the array, and therefore the array can be any size that they need. But they get to pick the size of the array. And then down below, I have a redim preserve. So if I just wrote a redim, then it would redimension the array. But if I and start all over, basically. But redim preserve means redimension it and keep what's there, add in some more stuff. So redim would start it all over. Redim preserve means preserve what's already in the array and add some more places to it. So I had five products. Now I've added two more products. So I'm going to do a redim preserve and add the two more products to the array. Okay, so preserve keeps what was there and adds in some extras. So if I start out on this program and I put in 3 and it says start gather. Now notice in this I am set a bunch of things not to be visible when I set up the properties. And as I said, we'll look at this on Thursday. And here I'm saying, okay, I want to enable some of them, but I'm going to do a start gather. So when I do a start gather, what's going to be the first thing I see? Actually, amount I don't believe I enter. Okay, start gather is giving me enter the number of original entries. Okay? So if I want 4 original entries, I put a 4 in there. And then I say okay. And so now it has made these 2 things enabled. So I can now work with those. They started out not enabled. Now I've enabled them. So I took in how many? I said 4. So I set up the array to be 4 minus 1. Okay? And then I wrote out the word that said entries and the length of the accumulator, which was the 4 that I just put in it. Then I enabled the buttons, enabled the clear button, enabled the amount button, so that I've got something to do there. And then I can say gather amount. Okay? And then it makes the gather amount button go away and clears it out. And then I can put in the next thing, gather amount. I've got a 15. Then I can clear it. 27. Gather the amount. Clear. 12, gather the amount, clear, and now it's telling me I'm all done. So the user can't make a mistake of hitting the wrong button because there's only one button on this whole thing that they can hit. So they've got to go and do the continue. So this is a way, basically, of saying to the user, you're not in charge, I am. And the only thing you can do is hit the continue button at that point. Okay? And all that happened inside here, where I said how many entries, I redimmed to give that number of entries, and then I said, okay, now show it up in the list box. So in the list box, I'm adding the word that says entries, and then the string and the length. Then I set count to zero. Then I enable the buttons and set the focus. Okay? And from there on in, it's which button I click. And I clicked gather amount, so I go down and I do gather amount. Okay? Which takes in the amount and gathers it into the array. Okay? And we're now 2 minutes past where we should be. So, to be continued, and remind me, this is the one we're doing on Thursday. I think I'll remember anyway, but remind me. Okay, we're done. This medicine that we are taking to avoid the